you're here. Glad you're back. There are compliments, and then there are compliments. In Genesis 27, Isaac speaks a blessing over his son Jacob, and this is what he says: "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." I was reading that the other day and I thought, boy, what kind of blessing is this? Do you understand what Isaac said to his son? He said, "Son, you smell like dirt." That's how the blessing sounds to you and me. But if you live in a culture that depends upon the land, and if you recognize the rains only come one season a year, and if they don't come and the harvest doesn't flourish, then famine's going to follow. Then you recognize being told you smell like a fertile field is a powerful, powerful blessing. When I read that blessing, I was reminded of Jamie's friend Mark when they used to play Dixie Youth Baseball together. Every now and then, I would carry Mark home after baseball practice, and they lived on this big chicken farm, and you had to drive about a quarter of a mile up their driveway to get to the house. And I remember one day, we were carrying Mark home, and it was one of those days when it was hot, and let's face it, the manure was especially strong that day. And we're driving up that road, and Mark rolled down his window, and he went, "Smells like money." It's that kind of a blessing. The thing is, the blessing Isaac gave is a blessing, an example we all can follow, because it shows us that we find concrete ways to extend high value to people that we love. It reminds us to let people know in specific terms that they are incredibly valuable to us and to the Lord. When I'm around you, it makes me feel like. When we are together, it always blesses my heart. That's a good southern term. Whenever I see you, it reminds me of. And we find a way to fill in that blank that makes somebody know they are really special in our lives. And that's especially true when you're thinking about bringing the blessing home. You know, these last few weeks we've been looking again at that whole idea of the biblical blessing. And 2 weeks ago we discovered the power of a loving touch. And last week we looked together at blessing through spoken words. And the third dimension of the blessing that we're going to look at together today is that we express high value. That you let those people you love know how important they are to you and in your life. And you make sure they realize they have great value in your sight, but more than that, in the Lord's sight. God commands us to be strong encouragers of the people we love the most. We want them to understand how deeply God cares about them. We want them to know God has a special plan for your life. And we want them to know they are people of great value. Value to God, but also great value to you. Your life really matters to me. You see, people today are desperate to know their lives matter. We are living today in the midst of an epidemic. Oh, not a pandemic like we experienced with COVID a few years ago. Americans today are living in the midst of an epidemic of loneliness. And everywhere you turn and everything you look at tells you there are people who feel so isolated these days, so separated from everybody around them, so lonely for somebody that would just care a little bit. It is an amazing thing, y'all. We live in the most technologically advanced society the world has ever known. Just this morning, if you chose to stop listening to me and pull out your telephone, you could communicate with millions of people all over the planet. We have the potential to share our thoughts and our words with people we will never see in our lifetime. And yet with all of that ability to communicate, to connect, we live in the midst of loneliness. A sense of isolation is one of the major sources of stress in people's lives today. We live in a world that is more likely to feel connected to somebody on the other side of the planet than the person down the hall or across the street. And even at home, people are prone to allow technology to separate them from the people they love. It's an astounding thing, isn't it, that you can share a home with people you love and yet you're paying no attention to one another because that thing in your hand has dominated all of your attention. We have to be careful that we don't leave people feeling like nobody even knows I'm here. Nobody even knows I care. It's an astounding thing that greater communication has led to greater isolation. No wonder people are lonely. They're not really sure they matter to anybody. They're not sure anybody is ready to look them in the eye. I read something about a month ago that just struck me so strongly, and it was this. They said about 30% of recent college graduates, y'all, said, I would not apply for a job if it required a face-to-face interview. I don't want to talk to people and deal with people on a one-on-one basis. No wonder we live in an isolated world. No wonder we need places like this, where there are people who know us and people who care about us and people who are there for us. That's why the gift of high value is like a cup of cold water in the middle of a dry and thirsty land. We live so much in a world that says, you're not important, you don't matter, I don't even know you're there, I don't care about you, that when somebody actually says, I care, it's the most refreshing thing you could possibly experience. Everybody wants to know, my life is valuable. And that's why God calls each one of us to make His love real in the way we love and encourage the people around us. There's this wonderful theological word that we think about a lot, particularly around Christmas time, but it makes so much difference in the midst of a world that needs to know, I have real value. You know what that word is? That word is incarnation. Incarnation. You know, usually when we think about that word in church, you're thinking about what happened when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He came to incarnate the presence of God, to make it real, to make it so you could deal with God hands-on, because after all, Jesus incarnated the very grace of God. But here's the thing that we need to remember when we seek to bless one another, and especially when we try to bless our homes. God calls us to incarnate the presence of Jesus, to make His love real through the way we talk to one another and love one another and care for one another and encourage one another. God's given you a great commission, and that commission is, make my love incarnational. Make it real so people can see it and feel it and know it's there. Everybody's looking for somebody who cares for us. One of the greatest blessings you can offer to your children, to your spouse, your family, is look them in the eye and let them know how important they are to Christ, and how much you care about them. You see, high value is the antidote to destructive influences. You need to build your family up because the world is full of forces seeking to tear them down. The Bible describes the devil as the deceiver and the father of lies, and that's the way sometimes the world can feel to people. Like there's nothing but destructive words coming my way. All I ever hear are critical statements. Everybody seems to be tearing me down. Everybody's telling me lies. And sometimes we can even use that incredible communication tool to do that to one another. These days it seems as though if you disagree with someone, it's easier to attack their character than it is to deal with your difference of opinions. I don't agree with you. That's because you're an evil person. You're a bad person. I don't want to be around somebody like you. And we hear that all the time. That's why there's no better antidote to destruction than to become a strong source of encouragement in people's lives. Here's the truth. Positive voices have become as precious as diamonds. They are rare and so valuable when you encounter somebody who lets you know you really matter. God really cares. Do you realize this? They tell us that it takes 7 positive statements to overcome the impact of 1 negative statement. That means we better get busy building one another up. I had some folks who I will not name. And the wife said, I got a bone to pick with you. Ever since you talked about touching, my husband pokes me all the time. Those 10 positive touches. All right. There's a new thing now. 7 positive statements before any negative statements. That's a little less painful, isn't it? A little less painful. But that's what we do, to build one another up. If that's true, there could not be a more important role for you and your family than to choose to be the chief encourager in a negative world. What is it you do? You mean what I do for a job? What do I do in my family? What do I do in my spare time? No, I'll tell you what I do. I have chosen to be the chief encourager in my family. I have chosen to be the one who will build everybody up. I've chosen to be the chief encourager among my friends. I've chosen to be the chief encourager in my workshop. I've chosen to be the chief encourager on my hall. I've chosen to be the chief encourager because the world needs a lot of encouraging people. So how do you become that kind of person? Our passage that we read together this morning shows us the way. So let's jump in and discover what the Bible tells us from Proverbs chapter 4 about choosing to be a chief encourager. The first thing you need to see is this. A chief encourager knows that high value is a deeply personal gift. Look at how Solomon began the statement we read together. He said, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." You see what he's saying? This is personal. This is about me, and this is about you. This is not about the world in general. It is a conversation between a father and a son. Not only that, it is a father who in a very deeply personal way is building up the one that he loves. It's not somebody who's sharing general knowledge with anybody who's willing to listen. It is a father speaking to his son. The verse reveals the heart of a man who's looking his son in the eyes and letting him know, "I am completely with you at this moment." This is my last reference to communication and media and all that sort of thing. One of the things I absolutely refuse to do, unless I'm expecting some kind of critical report from somebody, if I'm sitting and talking to you face to face and eye to eye, and this stupid phone starts to signal you've got a text, you've got an email, I will not break eye contact with you. I refuse to let that thing distract me from the people that I am with. And I challenge you to do exactly the same thing. Let it go. Let it go. Of course, I'll have to be honest with y'all, and our church staff knows this about me. If you really want to get in touch with me, you call me. Don't text me. Call me. If you text me, I might get back to you tomorrow or the next day. If you really need me, call me. And I say that to our church family. You need me, call me. I'll answer the phone. If I don't answer the phone, that's because I'm looking somebody else, looking at somebody else eye to eye, but I'll call you back. There's something about making sure that person you're talking to knows you are important. You really matter. And I'm not going to let everything else distract me away from the time that we're spending together. One of the greatest gifts you can offer your family is your focused attention. Some years ago, a theologian named Martin Buber observed that we relate to other people in one of two ways. He says, sometimes we relate to other people in an I-it manner. Now, let me tell you what an I-it relationship is like. That means I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're like. I don't care what you're thinking. You don't really matter to me as a person. You're just a thing out there. Let me show you what I mean. So you leave church this morning and you don't have time to really stop and eat lunch. So you run through a drive-thru. Maybe you go to McDonald's. Maybe you go to Burger King. Maybe you go to wherever you like to go. And you drive through and you place your order at that speaker and you go by and somebody hands you your sack of food and you drive down the road, I will guarantee you, if I ask you, so tell me about that person that handed you your food. How are they dressed? What do they look like? What do they sound like? Most of the time you could say, was it a male or a female? And what will you say to them? I don't know. Why is that? Because that's when you're in an I-it relationship. That's when you're not dealing with someone on a personal level. You're just kind of transacting business. You're just kind of taking care of things. And sometimes that's okay. I dare say if you're going through the drive-in, you don't want to pull up with four people behind you and say to that person at the window, well, tell me about yourself. You know, how are things going in your life? Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, what are you struggling with? You know, sometimes we relate to people in an I-it kind of a way. But there's another way we relate to one another. And that's what Buber calls I-thou. I-thou. That's when you look someone in the eye and you talk about things that really matter, and you show real interest in their lives, and you say, I care about you. You matter to me. There's a store I go to in Birmingham from time to time. Buy a lot of my clothes there. And much of the reason I go is because of the quality of their goods, but there's another reason I go there, and it is because when I walk in that store, they call my name, and they know who I am, and they know what I do, and they know what I like, and they'll point out things to me, and when I leave, they'll say, I'll see you next time, and across the time I'm there, we don't just talk about stuff, we also talk about what's going on in one another's lives. They show real interest. And when I leave that store, I always feel better about myself. I feel like I have gone somewhere and I have been somebody. And we all need places like that. Not necessarily a store. Just a place you go where somebody knows who you are and treats you like somebody. God calls us to have that I-thou relationship with the people we care about. That's what makes our church lobby such a special place when service is over. We go out there and we become people to one another. You know, it's not always that way. Sometimes you would gather in a place like this, in a sanctuary like this. You would sit and you would sing the songs and you would hear the sermon, and when it was over, everybody would get up and walk out, and nobody would really pay any attention to anybody else. But I love the fact that once we get beyond those doors right there, people begin to talk with one another and visit with one another and care about one another and reach out to one another. You know what that says? This is an I-thou kind of a place. And the world needs those kind of places where people build you up and make you feel like somebody in Christ's name. God calls us to love each other that way. So make sure you bring an I-thou relationship home with you every day. Because nothing builds somebody up more than realizing I am with somebody who loves me more than anybody in the world. And they've got time to be with me. And I will be seen and I will be heard. To give the gift of high value is to speak deliberately in a personal way. There's another thing Proverbs tells us. It tells us a chief encourager understands that the gift of high value must reveal life-changing spiritual truth. Solomon continued. He said, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. I have set you on the right path. And I am blessing you. A loving mother, a faithful father, is committed to passing on God's truth in their home. One of the ways that Solomon gave his son high value was to speak God's word into his life. I want you to know the truth and see the truth and hear the truth and walk in the truth because you've seen it in me. He told his son how much he cared. Now he wanted his son to know how much the Lord loved him. And so he challenged him to walk boldly with God. And he wanted to speak God's word into his life. And that's God's great challenge to everyone who wants to build up their family. Make sure your home is built on the foundation of the word. Let God's values be your values. Let God's standards be your standards. Let God's truth guide where you are and what you do and how you live. As a family, high value is the result of knowing God has plans and principles that you can rely on. And then Solomon says this, and a chief encourager knows that high value is revealed through bold commitment. Solomon wanted his son to experience a deep relationship with God that would guide him for the rest of his life. I want you to have a bold commitment to Christ. Now, why would Solomon say that to his son? Because Solomon realized, I'm not always going to be there to protect you and guide you every step of the way. I'm not always going to be there to show you what to do in every situation. There are going to be lots of times when you're going to be facing your own decisions and I'm not going to be around and I can't help you in that moment. So I'd better prepare you for when that moment comes. Because Solomon knew, I can't be there, but I know who can. And you need to trust him. And follow him. He gave the greatest gift of high value he could possibly offer. So he said to him, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. Grab hold of wisdom. Grab hold of truth. Grab hold of God's promises and God's word. And don't let it go. As time goes by and I'm not there for you, when things occur and I'm not present, I want to make sure, as your chief encourager, that I'm telling you, you can depend upon the Word of God. It will never fail you. It will never let you down. I love the way he expressed it in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And if I were going to offer you my own paraphrase, I would tell you, teach your family, hold on to Jesus as hard as you can. Hold on to Jesus as hard as you can, because He loves you, and He forgives you, and He gives you strength for the day, and He takes away your loneliness, and He fills your life with purpose. As your chief encourager, you say to those people you love, hold on and don't let go. Well, this morning, maybe it's time for you to make that decision to hold on to Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, but you know you need to be. And I would encourage you today, in just a moment, we're going to stand up, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you want to know Jesus, I'm going to be standing right here. And you come to me and say, I want to meet the Lord. I want to meet Him today. And I'll be glad to introduce you to Jesus. If you can't come up here today, when we go out into that lobby, you find somebody on our church staff and you say, I just want to get to know Jesus. I need to trust Him. Maybe you're here today and you're recognizing God wants you to plant yourself in this church as a member. And today is the day when He's calling you to do that. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. It's been a good day in God's house today. I'm glad we got to spend this time together. Let me encourage you to be back this evening. We got children's activities, youth activities, a parenting class that's going on for other adults. We're going to be on the Sea of Galilee tonight. So let me encourage you to be back at 5 as we enjoy that time together. Let's bow together for a closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank You that You give our lives high value, that we were once was lost, but now we're found. And Father, we thank You that our lives have great value, and we can pass it on to others. So help us, Lord, to make people know they matter to the Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.